Hi there, folks. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. I'm Tony and I'm coming to you from New Zealand. And with me today on the show, I'll have Joni Stahl, who I will bring on in just a minute. So we just had a bit of a cyclone here in New Zealand. Luckily, not as bad, I think, as what they'd forecast. And where I am, we got off fairly lightly, just some pretty strong winds and lots of rain, but seems to be no damage where I am, thank goodness. But it seems to be one thing after another with cyclones and things in New Zealand. This weather's going crazy, probably globally. So anyway, having said that, Joni, it is good to have you back with me on the show today.
Thank you for having me back on. It's great to be here.
So what I want to do, I was just thinking, Joni, back to 2016, it was January 2016, the first time I ever had you on the show, and you said some things then which have stuck with me, and I'm sure with you, ever since, and it seems very pertinent right now, and that is that this was 11 months before the 2016 election, and you were told me on the show that you, where you worked, you had a Secret Service agent share things with you that they should not have shared for whatever reason, and basically they said, told you that Donald Trump was selected to be the next president. This was nearly a year out from the election, and that under Trump's presidency there would be an economic catastrophe, and also that Iran would bomb the hell out of Israel, and various other things. But that Trump was definitely going to be the president in that 2016 election, and we know he, of course, was, and then he didn't get elected in 2020. But now, coming full circle into this term, the things that perhaps they thought might have happened in the first term, maybe, are seeming to be really happening now and being fulfilled even more than they were then. So I've stuck to my guns ever since then, saying that Trump had been selected to be the president, he's part of the club, he's the Luciferian elite had put him into power, and I've never changed that. You know, I've copped flack from it over the course of this channel for 10 years. I've stuck to that same thing. And I feel like now it's really starting to show up that we were correct anyway. So that's by way of introduction. I will just hand it to you.
Yeah, I remember I was working at, I just want to say this because people are going to go, what in the world? I needed to get a job, and it was during some changes in my life. And just to get people caught up, because I want them to hear what that man said to me, which was so incredible, because when you look at this from 2016 to 2026, it's just phenomenal, because I was working at a job that I had no idea in the beginning when I got hired that it was a Masonic elite Masonic club. I worked as a concierge, and it's, you know, near us here in the coast. I don't know if I'll say the name, but anyways, White House staff went in and out there all the time. It was definitely a Republican stronghold. I met a prime minister from Kazakhstan. I talked to Rick Perry all the time. I mean, it was really something. So it was very normal to have Secret Service people in there all the time. And they're not, as people, I'm sure they're friendly, but when they're working, they're not friendly. They are straightforward. They come to the desk. They say who they are. I'm Secret Service. I'm going to be sitting in that chair for 3 hours, 2 hours, whatever. And they don't talk to you. And I learned right away that even if you ask them a question, they just glare at you. They don't talk to you, and you learn right away to leave them alone. So I was used to it. And so I had a man come to me. I think he said his name was Patrick. But anyway, he said, I'm Secret Service. He had came in with Rumsfeld that evening. He said, I'll be sitting in that chair for 3 hours. And I said, okay, you know. And so he started talking to me, and I felt really nervous because they don't talk to you. And I know that everything at that club is under surveillance, and they constantly do monthly background checks on everybody. Like, you're always under surveillance. So I was really nervous. And I was like, that was during the time I was on A Minute to Midnight. And I was like, oh no, they're watching my Minute to Midnight things. And anyway, so he started to ask questions, like random questions, because he was, you know, whatever, just visiting here. And he started asking me questions. He started asking me, and one of them was, who do you think will be the next president? And I nervously said, you know, trying to be coy, I said, well, I don't know. It could be Trump. And he said, oh, no, it will be Trump. He was chosen 2 years ago. We all know this. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And I go, can I ask you questions? And he said, yeah, because I thought, here it goes, right? I was so nervous. And I asked him, I said, what is, because remember there was a Jade Helm. I go, what is Jade Helm? He goes, what do you think it is? I go, I don't know, civilian population. Us lowly people think it's civilian population control. He said, that's exactly what it is. And I said, really? And I said, is there going to be martial law? Now, this is what was interesting, because he said, there will most definitely be martial law. And I said, really? He said, but it won't be what you think. It won't be like the entire nation will be under martial law, but it'll start with big cities and filter off to other cities. But it will begin with a radical immigration sweep that will cause complete chaos and panic in the world. Well, okay, so, you know, come on, this first term, that didn't happen, right? And then he said some other things, and I don't want to go through the entire things. I don't want this to be about the whole conversation. He said something. I'm with Obama. He says, I'm with him every single day in the Oval Office. He told me he was going to work, and he's going to be leaving. He's going to Belgium. But he did say, I asked him, is there going to be an economic collapse? He goes, there's not going to be an economic collapse. He said, there's going to be an economic catastrophe. And he said a few other words, and he goes, look, I got to go. And I was like, okay. So we started to walk away. He turns around and goes, one more thing. He said, get ready for Israel. Get ready for Iran to bomb the hell out of Israel. And when Trump left office, I thought, well, you know, maybe a couple of things the guy said, but not really. But it was the second time around that everything that this man said was true. And it's like, truly, who was this person? That was not normal.
Yeah.
Because I worked around it every day.
Yeah. Yeah. It certainly wasn't, you know, what you would expect someone to tell you. And yet you're right. It is coming to pass. And he was correct that Trump was the president in 2016. And obviously a lot of water's gone under the bridge since then. But we're seeing more and more happening now with obviously the Middle East war at the moment under Trump's watch, and the economic situation. I think we are only at the beginnings of that, the collapse, catastrophe. And even today with, yesterday, the failure of the peace negotiations in Pakistan around the US and Iran. And so you're back to the Strait of Hormuz and what's going to happen there, and Trump's talking about blockading it and so on. So I think, you know, we've had the World Economic Forum telling us that by 2030, you know, we'll own nothing and be perfectly happy type of thing. And I feel like this is all about that reset. And so it's like the frog in the pot. We see it slowly happening, you know, the frog slowly being boiled. And so the economic catastrophe is happening in steps. Obviously, COVID started it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we've kind of got to this point now. And I don't think we're anywhere near the end of where it's going yet.
No, we're not at the end. When you were saying, you know, the frog in the pot, the slow, like the thing doesn't know it's slowly being cooked to death. When you said that, I had a thought in my mind. We're starting to boil. This is no longer the frog in the pot, and it's just sitting there not knowing what's going on. The frog starts knowing what's going on when he starts feeling some heat, okay?
Yeah.
And we're more than feeling heat. And look, everything is a long-range plan. what we're seeing right here, all wars are planned. This is not all of a sudden we're going to set Iranians free. No. You know, I mean, it really, I want to say something about that, because we saw the big celebration, you know, they were rejoicing, the Ayatollah, his family, the generals, all that wicked group of people were eliminated. But I really looked at that and I go, it's premature rejoicing. I just sensed it. I said, nope. I said, it's premature rejoicing. I don't blame them for rejoicing after what they've been through, but I'm trying to keep it where I want to keep God in the absolute center point and perspective and what we're saying, because we're going to be talking, you know, during this entire time, we're going to be putting out a lot of information, but I want everybody to understand that we have to keep Jesus Christ in the center point of everything, because otherwise it's easy to be carried away with so much information and you don't realize it's like a current. But it's important that we talk about this information as people that are alive in these last days. I mean, look, this world, I'm going to be talking about peace later, because this whole thing is about peace, right? Everybody's trying to formulate some kind of peace. And that's what this whole thing is. You had the Iranian, the poor people. Look, there's 8 million Christians there. The rest of the people are, you know, they're not Christians, but they're average people. They want to be free. There's a lot of Ayatollah supporters. You know, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
And really, everybody that's human wants to be free.
Yeah.
Bottom line, freedom is huge to the animal kingdom, to people. We want to be free. I want to be free personally, and so do you. So does everybody. But Satan is, what does it say about him in Revelation chapter 18? About Babylon, you know, mystery Babylon, the political system. It says that the souls of men are traded. They're like enslaved and traded. Mm. So there's not going to be any peace. And all this talk, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Did you want to say something? No, you keep going.
So yeah, because see, this whole peace thing is an absolute facade. You know, there's so many things I want to say, so I got to keep my head going in a right stream, because I feel like there's so much I'm like prepared to say. But going back to this war, there was going to be no ceasefire. The minute they said, look, everybody was rejoicing on social media, especially MAGA people, you know, they're like, look at this. I knew he would ceasefire. And I said, nope. This isn't a ceasefire. They're not going to see. You just wiped out. You just eliminated people. Not to mention our military had just launched a couple of Tomahawks into an all-girls school and killed 175 little girls and the teachers. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this big boast, well, we wiped out the Navy. Okay, you blew up 7 frigates. Okay, we have been wiped out. We've had so much military equipment loss. In fact, that one extraction of the pilot, according to Colonel McGregor, I was listening to him, and he put the number on it. He said those C-130s. Now, let me sticky paste that for a second. Right before that, Hegseth, by Trump's orders, fired 20 generals, and the number is more like 30, maybe 10 more resigned, because they weren't having anything to do with this. They said, we want nothing to do with this. And so, you know, if you go against Trump, you're fired.
Yeah.
So now you have Hegseth, who wants to absorb all military power into one, who is no leader at all. You know, if anybody needs to go, that guy needs to go. But so you had 2 C-130 Hercules that would never have landed in that sand had we had the proper generals in place. And so when they landed, there was no taking off. They had to be blown up. So all in all, within 36 hours, $480 million worth of our planes were destroyed. Now, mm-hmm. Of course, the man's life was worth it. Don't get me wrong, of course. But at the same time, because there was no planning. I mean, look at the beginning of this Iranian war. The generals were furious. They said, we weren't told anything until last minute. We didn't have time to prepare. It was like, what was it, a couple of months before, 3 months, whatever. He had 800 generals who he forced to fly from wherever they were all over the world to come and sit in front of him because he, Donald Trump has, I don't even know if there is human language to describe his absolute lust for all power. Mm-hmm. That was, to me, I looked at as an exertion of power. Not that he needed them to be there because he could have sent them a memo, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't have to have 800 generals fly in. So this whole war has been lost. And of course there wasn't going to be with Vance. You know, look, there's going to be some things we're going to talk about a little bit that's going to be uncomfortable. I have a Jewish background, so I want everybody to know I'm going to say some things about the Jewish, with Bibi, not the land. We know that God has a program for that land. We know it's God's land. We know all that. We have a biblical background, so please understand. But there are some legit things that have to be looked at. That ceasefire, Bibi wanted nothing to do with. He's like, we're going to blow up from, you know, the River Litani. We're going to blow everything up below that and everything above it. And we're going to create an entire new Gaza. That's not an out create. We're going to turn it into another Gaza. Mm. And so the Iranians said, the Lebanese are our brothers. Bibi stops blowing them up, then maybe we'll talk about peace. And the reason why it really would never work, see, the thing is, Trump, he wanted to exert a government in his name, a US/Israeli government. And that would not work with the people because of Bibi. There is a lot that we're looking at today that's not written in the Bible, thing by thing, blow by blow, because I don't think God felt like he needed to tell us every little detail. But everything is like the fill in the blanks of what is happening, because when we look at, let's go back to the Strait of Hormuz, okay? What a fiasco is this? I mean, what was there, 75 ships a day passed through the Strait of Hormuz? No problem. It was free passage. Now, because of what Trump has done, now nobody gets through there. Mm-hmm. You have to be friends with the Iranians, and you have to be friends with whoever you are transporting goods to a country in the Gulf. So you have to be able to answer those questions. If you are allowed passage, which, by the way, it's up to only 5 to 7 ships a day, you are now charged by the Iranian government $2 to $2.5 million per ship. That comes out per year now to over $90+ billion. It used to be free. This is now a disaster. Because this is not going to go away overnight. Too much damage has been done. I love something here that Catherine Austin Fitz, do you mind if I read just a little bit? Unless before I do, if you want to weigh in a little bit. Okay. Fitz referred to a Goldman Sachs article discussing how the war's effect on the Strait of Hormuz has harmed the world's nitrogen fertilizer market and is putting critical crops such as corn and other grains in danger. In addition to the Strait of Hormuz being crucial for agricultural trade, the financial expert said it is used to ship materials for microchip production and energy use. Quote, you're talking about massive dislocation of the global economy. And if it goes on for long enough, we have Peru, Thailand, and other countries talking about doing COVID kind of shutdowns to save gas. But you're talking about intentionally shutting down the global economy. And it didn't start with Iran, and it didn't start with the United States. It started with the city of London she noted that, you know, Lloyd's of London is the insurer of all those ships, but they're not going to insure ships going through the Strait of Hormuz during a war. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's going to be global disorder and chaos to a very large extent, because there's five F's: food, fuel, feedstock, and fertilizer. And the fertilizer is not going to be shipped, and it's too late already. It's a month too late. And we are looking. I mean, I've been listening to proper channels, because the fertilizer was too late. It's far too late. So we're looking at starvation? And that's a hard word to say, because, you know, there are certain words that we don't want to jump to the gun and say, well, there's going to be starvation, right? We want to be able to say, well, you know, there could be starvation. But since Trump has been in office, he decimated the cattle industry. He decimated the farming industry. I mean, those are whole other shows. Our gas here, Tony, is $6 plus. I just saw today, he was letting everybody know, most likely the gas is going to go up and be much higher by November. You know, come on. What's going on here? You know, the whole thing was no wars, America first. And now you're looking at, well, you know, we need to have more boys signed up. We just can't trust them signing up when they turn 18 for the selective draft, for the draft, like my boys had to do. And now it's going to be, you know, you're automatically going to be put in there. This man is, he has said things from the beginning that's very self-deifying, and it's alarming, absolutely alarming to me. As a believer, as a person, and I think to the unbelieving people of this nation, they are appalled to hear a hyper-religious MAGA. When people don't know what MAGA is, they're like, whatever MAGA, this group of people, they're looked at as insane. Now, we know it's all replacement theology, right? Mm-hmm. Israel replaces the church. Christians replace the Jews. And so he has said things like, I am the, how did he say it? I don't know if he said the best president. I am something like that, of all presidents.
Yeah. Well, he said multiple, you know, things like that over the year. Yeah.
Multiple things. Yeah. I know more than the generals. Mm. You know, or recently, you know, he was questioned like, you're violating international law. Like, what's up with that? His response to that was, I don't obey international law. I do what I want.
Mm. It's really interesting too, Joni, just jumping in quickly, yeah, how he's, you know, not that I support them, but how the people that supported him along and helped him, you know, get selected or elected, if you know, mm-hmm, what I mean. But the voices like Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones and a bunch of others, you know, that are going, wait a second, you're not doing what you said you were going to do. And Trump, and not that I support those people, don't get me wrong, but his reaction to them was basically the schoolyard bully type of reaction. You've all got low IQs. I don't need you. You know, you're a bunch of no-hopers type of thing. That's how Trump's responded to those people that were his base. It's like he doesn't seem to care anymore as to who the MAGA base is anymore. Because he was selected to do a job. He's there. He's getting that job done. So all the trimmings and trappings of having to pretend you care about these people, it doesn't matter anymore. His true colors are showing out.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it was a few days before the war started. Hegseth was stopped by Congress because he was trying to buy, I don't know how many, I'm not going to remember the number, so I'm not going to say, but it was like tens of thousands of dollars worth of, you know, crude, you know, oil, something to do with oil, petrol, whatever. And Congress shut him down. But yet someone in the White House, someone is unnamed. You know, we know that his son, Barron, aside from what I was just going to say, his son, Barron, bought $30 million worth of shares and he made out. No, he bought shares. I don't know, something like that. Yeah. Like, and he made something like, you know, and look, they have been made rich. This family, this Trump family, yeah, has made billions of dollars since he's been in there. Not to mention, I hope you don't mind, I know it sounds like I'm going on a tirade, but, and you know, and to watch them rip down the East Wing, you know, that was really horrifying. Okay. I am not a political person, but that was pretty horrifying watching a dozer rip apart the East Wing. Okay. And then he wants a ballroom and he's like pushing this ballroom in wartime. And don't forget when he went into Venezuela, had special forces go in there and kidnap Maduro and his wife in the middle of the night and saying, we're going to take over, the oil is ours. It was like a week later, they had all these different men that were sitting, they were at the White House, and the CEO of like Shell, Phillips, Conoco, like the big hitter oil company CEOs were sitting there, and they were trying to tell him, we do not want Venezuelan oil. We have tried Venezuelan oil. It's very difficult to process. We're not interested in buying any of the oil because I think I'm not sure, and I want to be careful how I say it, but I guess he was trying to bring them all together to get them on board. Like, look what I just did. Now I can sell you oil. They're like, we don't want Venezuelan oil. It's the worst oil ever. And it's super costly to process. And he stood up. He was sitting next to Marco Rubio. In the middle, he stands up, walks over to a window behind him, peeks out of the window, and says, while his back is still turned towards everybody, something to the effect, you know, my ballroom is going to look beautiful. You know, the ballroom is going to be wonderful. I'm just looking so forward to that. And Marco Rubio was like, you know, looking at him like that. And it's, there's something so absolutely psychologically wrong with this person.
Yeah. It's classic narcissism to the extreme.
Malignant narcissism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what really is scary is the number of Christians that supported him and still do, even in spite of all this, you know, and I've known some of them in America while I was there in Pennsylvania during the last summer, just, you know, their eyes glazing over about how wonderful Donald Trump is and how God's put him in this position. And we know that because people like Lance Wallnau have said so. And Lance Wallnau is this great prophet, you know. It's like, yeah, prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, would suit Lance Wallnau better than P-R-O-P-H-E-T. But, you know, I've seen it in these Christians, people. And what it's doing is, I think, turning a lot of the world against Christians when they see this happening too. And potentially, I can see this coming back to bite Christians because they'll go, you're the people that put this man in power and you're the ones that caused his destruction by doing that. But, I mean, that's off on a bit of a tangent, but
Look, I hope you don't mind. I had this dream. I gotta say the dream because it was pretty powerful. And this is gonna, and when I had it, it was like a couple of months ago, and I was like, huh, do you mind if I say it?
Yeah,
it'll be under.
Yeah.
It was a pretty powerful dream. I'll say it and leave it with everybody. It's not gonna be me interpreting it and getting into it. But I had this dream that it was night. I'm in my house. I'm doing something. I see on the TV there was some kind of an emergency landing with a plane. It was the first lady's plane. It was her own plane. And it was a rough landing. And all of a sudden, there's a knock at my door. There's a Secret Service agent. I open the door. He comes in. I turn around and I see like this life flight basket with Melania in the basket. He says to me, "You need to come with us." And I said, "I can't go with you. My house started to fill up with Secret Service people." And he said, "No, you are coming with us. Get in that basket." And I won't go into every detail. I get in the basket, scene changes. I'm on Air Force One. I'm in this plane and I see Trump sitting there. The basket, all of a sudden, I'm getting out of the basket. Melania disappears. And I see Jewish dignitaries with white yarmulkes on, and they're walking around and they're celebrating. They're having champagne. I see MAGA people, but they're dressed like the men were dressed in like Uncle Sam clothing, like overtly ridiculous looking, like very costumey. And the women were like wearing sequined red, white, and blue flag dresses, cocktail dresses, and they were partying and everybody was rejoicing. The plane starts taking off and we start to hit some turbulence, and I'm sitting near the window and I said, "This is getting bad." And I ran to the pilot. Somehow I had access, and I say to them, "What's going on? Because this plane doesn't feel like it's going to make it." And they said, "We are doing everything we can to save this plane." I go back to the seat and I notice Trump is sitting there like blasé. He's like not even caring. Next thing you know, I realize we're going to be crashing. We're plummeting. I run to the pilots. I say to them, "Oh my God, we're going to crash." And they said, "We have done everything we can to save it." Next thing you know, I'm looking out of the window and we're getting ready to slam into the ocean. Right as we slam into the ocean, I'm immediately hovering over the plane. I'm looking at the plane like the Titanic just sink, and it disappeared. And those Secret Service agents met me. They said, "You need to leave the area." Mm. That was a pretty powerful dream.
I reckon. Yeah. Yeah.
That was, and there was a lot of other details, but it's not, you know, I don't want to make this whole thing about it. But let me tell you something about these dreams. People have these dreams like myself because God is a communicator and God lets us know what's going on. We want nothing to do with any of these prophets. They're all shown to be exactly what they are. It's like the blind leading the blind. Yeah. The Lord said, let them alone.
Yeah.
Because they're all going to fall into a ditch. They're going to fall. Don't fall with them. Just let them go. So, you know, and this whole thing that's around Israel, because right now Israel, we wonder about Zechariah 12:3, right? Like everybody will be against Israel,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. It does. Zechariah 12:3. Yeah. It does say that. And it says, "And all peoples." And you wonder, how does that look like? What does that look like? What makes the whole world turn against Israel? What happens? What does somebody do? What's the switch that's flipped? And it could be Bibi. It could be Bibi, because he has gone rogue, just like Trump has gone rogue. We have a rogue government, Tony.
Yeah.
We don't have a government that's it. They're rogue. They're doing whatever they want. By the way, let us not forget that when Trump started this Iranian war, before they went to war, he had his MAGA people telling him that if he does this war, that he will bring about Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Then some commanders were telling their troops, "This battle is a holy war." To bring about Armageddon. We had commanders. You know how crazy that is?
Yeah.
The worst craziness part is, Tony, is that this man thinks he has that kind of power to bring Jesus back.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Well, let's just, I'll just read just, you know, a couple of Trump quote. God is supporting the United States in its war with Iran, President Donald Trump said. God is good, Trump said. Because God is good and God wants to see people taken care of, God doesn't like what's happening. I don't like what's happening, he said. Everyone says I enjoy it. Trump says, I don't enjoy it. I don't like seeing people killed. But he's basically saying, you know, that God is in it. And there are a bunch of other quotes like that, claiming that God is in the war, you know, this war with Trump.
Okay.
So...
then what's up with the genocidal language?
Yeah.
By tomorrow night.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to wipe out of existence an entire people.
Yeah.
You know, and when the Ayatollahs were killed and their families and all the people, and there was this big, like, look how powerful our president is. He had the nerve to get up there and say, I killed them. I killed them. Yeah. It's like, you know, I, you know,
Everything
Key,
is about him. Yeah. It's all everything.
I mean,
constant.
Tony, he said last night, I think the most extreme statement he has said after he tore up the JCPOA, which is provided for American inspectors in Iran, okay? Quote, there would have been no Middle East, no Israel right now. My opinion, and a lot of opinions of great experts, that if I had not terminated that terrible deal, which I did, that I was honored to do so, I was so proud to do, essentially, I did what no other president was willing to do. So, you know, that's pretty egregious, saying there would be no Israel if it weren't for him.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at thousands and thousands. I mean, how old is Iran? I think it's like 2,300 years old. I think if that's the right number. And what about the Prince of Persia? Look at Daniel chapter 10.
Yeah.
You know, we get an insight where, you know, an angel comes to Daniel and says, I've come for your prayers, and I would have come earlier, but for 21 days I was held in war with the Prince of Greece, Grisha. Then he says a few things to him, and he says, now I must go to fight the Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
So they have a major part to play in the Russian coalition with many nations of the Gog-Magog alliance, where they march in from the north.
Yeah.
In the mountains, that's a mountainous war, because the Valley of Megiddo is another war at the end. So there is a war coming, and the Iranians will be a part of it at the top. And by the way, Iran is a proxy nation of China and Iran.
China and Russia.
It really has to be. I'm sorry?
China and Russia, you mean? Because you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because for the last 25 years, they knew, they admitted, they said, no, we knew this day was coming. We knew that we would be attacked by America. And so for 25 years, they've been stocked, you know, they've been digging tunnels under all the mountains. And those tunnels are filled with weapons from Russia and China.
Yeah.
And the reason they have all those missiles is because they do not have nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Let's not forget, too, with Iran, that they're looking for the Mahdi to come back. So they're not afraid. They think this is part of their Islamic prophecies. And so they feel that they'll be victorious. They're not afraid of American troops. Bring it on, you know?
Well, and what they believe is the more bloodshed, the more it will hasten on the coming of the Mahdi.
Hmm.
And that he will usher in peace. So this whole thing is about peace. You know, I was thinking about this. The word peace occurs 429 times in 400 verses in the Bible. When Jesus was born, he said, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. That was the announcement at his birth. But Jesus says in Luke 12, 12:51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division. And that had to do, if you keep reading on, that has to do with the second coming. There can only be peace at Jesus's second coming. He's the Prince of Peace. That's where we get Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, 9, 6, you know, unto us a child is born, and so on. And he's called the Prince of Peace. In verse 7, it talks about how the government will be on his shoulders, that whole thing. But, you know, when he rules and reigns on earth. So there's this big push for peace. And Trump even said, I'm the only person in 3,000 years that has been able to bring peace to the Middle East. You know, he's not a man of peace. He's a man of wrath.
Yeah.
He's a man of war.
And let's not forget his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is a big part of this as well, like part of the negotiations with Iran, the Abraham Accords, the Gaza rebuild, everything. So the Kushner is standing to make an awful lot of money from this situation as well. But I know our time's running long at the moment, okay. But just one little thing I was going to say is, when you just mentioning Bibi Netanyahu, let's not forget that there are people in Israel that don't want this war too, and they've been out protesting, but they're not allowed to. You know, they get arrested and so on and persecuted for protesting. And the other day there was a protest, they were only allowed 1,000 protesters, you know. So you can't have a mass protest because, you know, there's trouble for you in Israel if you protest the war and the Netanyahu government as well at the moment. So I think a lot of Israelis are stuck between a rock and a hard place a little bit with this war as well. It's like every country, there's division. In Israel, there are those that want it and there are those that don't. In Iran, there are those that want to get rid of the current regime and there are those that support it. In America, you've got division between those that want a Republican Party and those that want a Democrat, you know, president or whatever. And so there's this global, there's just division. And so this whole idea of peace is just going to fall apart on just because of the sheer amount of division there is everywhere. It's like there's no unity. And where there's no unity, you can't have peace unless it's a forced one, which I think the Antichrist will attempt. A sort of a forced peace at some point.
Yeah, and besides, when he shows up on the scene, I mean, his administration falls apart immediately anyway. You know, he has this excellent beginning, you know, where he has the 10 toes and he has three kings that will, you know, serve him, but those three kings turn on him and they, you know, devour him. And he winds up dying in the gates. Micah, I think it's 5, Micah 5. I forget. It's in the chapter Micah 5, where he dies in the gates of, you know, where the Lord takes him alive. You know, yeah. He's the first, him and the false prophets are the first recipient in the lake of fire. But, you know, I think that the main thing that we should close with is, I want to say, you know, walk in God's peace. Seek for his peace for your life. Pray that God, you know, Paul tells us that, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, because right now this is a time of no peace and it's going to get a whole lot worse. We're looking at a famines and we're looking at all these different things, right? Like we've spoke about, and the not potential of it getting worse, but it will get worse. But we're here for a reason, and Jesus Christ will take care of us. But when you're walking in the power of his peace, you can walk through things. See, because his peace is a power. That peace is him. And when you're walking in peace, you're not going to react. It's one thing to hear the information. It helps you to pray. It gives you understanding. I believe God loves it when we have a sharp mind, soundness of mind. But pray for peace in your own life. Just pray for that peace to rule in your hearts. Because he'll give it, and he would not, because he will give it to you. Because when we have that peace, then we can be able to navigate around people around us that don't have peace. Because when you're afraid, you can't pray. you can't pray when you're terrified or you see, because if you get so involved in this world too deeply, that a darkness will start to kind of get a hold of you a little bit. And you start to fret and to be edgy. And we're in this world, Jesus says, you're no more in this world any more than I am of this world. You know, he says, one last thing, I want to say the scripture and I'll end with this. In Colossians 3, 1 through 3, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things below. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, ye shall also appear with him in glory.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, if people are putting their faith in politicians, whether it's a left-wing politician or a right-wing politician or some middle-of-the-road one, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Don't have your faith and trust in the political system in any country. Now, the time for any faith in that is gone, I believe, and it's like... Because I do believe we are in the end times and we're rapidly approaching the last of those end times. And so what's going to happen is going to happen. And you are not going to vote in a change. You're not going to vote in some politician that's going to turn it all around and change it and stop the process and the progress towards the fulfillment of end time prophecies. So what all you can do is your own life and the people around you. What make a difference in your own lives? We all need to, all of us. And you can prep somewhat for the hard times, which the famine and so on. I mean, there's no be-all and end-all prepping that's going to work either, because you can have that taken off you. You can have a disaster destroyed or whatever. But I still think, you know, we should do what we can to be using our intelligence and trusting God to show us what to do in terms of being prepared for even the immediate short-term disasters. Like I mentioned right at the start of the show, the weather, you know, how unpredictable the weather's become now, and whether it's controlled by man with HAARP and chemtrails and all that, or whether it's all from space, or whether whatever is causing it, that you can't change it, you can't control it. God knows, but what it does show us is to be prepared for unpredictable events like this to happen as best as we can. And I know a lot of us are struggling financially. You know, we don't have a lot of money to put aside for things. But I think if you trust God, he'll show you just small ways that you can prepare, even if it is only small and it's cumulative. But just start somewhere if you haven't already done so, would be my suggestion with that. So I will leave that as my last thought. And Joni, as you close for this, can you tell our listeners where they find you online? And if you have any last thought, you can hear it now.
You know, my last thought is just concentrate on the Lord as much as you can. Stay in his word. His word is power. You know, get that word in you. You know, let it absorb into your mind. You know, I've been spending so much time in the word, you know, a lot of my life. But as I'm getting older, I'm slowing down and kind of just letting it sink deeper. And I've noticed the power of that piece of his word. You know, I think of that word, the last thing. Remember, Jesus says, Peter, put up your sword. The Son of Man must go as it's written. Like you were saying, you're not going to vote anybody in. It's going to go the way Jesus is. By the way, it says, our God is in heaven. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He has done it. Past tense, it's done. And so we want to be in lockstep with him. And when you pray, you keep in lockstep with God. The more you pray, look to the Lord, meditate on him through the day, you'll see how you start becoming really sensitive to his moving. Because Jesus, the very fact that he's in heaven, went there and sits on that throne and sent his Holy Spirit to live in us, that's the receipt. That's like, not like, He's going to make sure you get there, and he's going to feed us. He's going to take care of us, but stick very close to him, especially now at these last days. There's so much deception, so much lying, and Jesus is the truth. And let that light shine. The word is light, and it's power. It came out of eternity. It was going to go on into eternity. From him, let that word, he is a word, let it be in you and let him live in you and become fruitful to Jesus Christ. He wants to use you. He wants to use you right where you're at. He wants to speak through you. You know, he told Paul the apostle, he told Ananias to tell Paul, you're a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the kings and Gentiles and all the people. So remember, you're also a vessel unto the Lord that bear his name. So the Lord bless you and all you do for his good name. And if you are going to look me up, you can find me on YouTube and Rumble. Joni Stahl's Field Notes.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Joni. That's been a great discussion today. And I do hope that people will like this video and also share it. Please do. Thank you. And folks, don't forget, we have our website, aminutetomidnight.com, with midnight spelled MIDNITE. And we do run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations too. A big thank you to the folks that do donate. And if you want to help us, you can donate at aminutetomidnight.com. And please make sure that you subscribe to us at our website and also our various YouTube and Apple Podcast channels and so on. And the music used, I've written, played and recorded. And if you want to download some of my free music, you can find that at aminutetomidnight.com. God bless, and God willing, we'll be back in a few days with another episode of the show.